I believe God intended us to be sick and old. I decided to find something to bring my health back. For 10 years, I studied pH and how important it is to the human system. Balance 7 gave me back what I lost by getting older. I no longer get out of bed with a joint discomfort. Balance 7 can do for you what it has done for me and many others. In 3 days' time, you'll feel more energy, less joint discomfort, and clarity of thinking. No doctor or hospital can do what Balance 7 can do for you. Balance 7 is the key to unlocking the healthy immune system. Bring your body back to balance. Order now. Receive free shipping with the code word AL. Go to balance7.com. That's balance7.com. Order now and get your free shipping and a free gift with your order. Go to balance7.com. Use the code word AL.
If you are a regular listener to my show, you know that I'm all about confronting the challenges that are facing our country and protecting our fundamental freedoms. It's why I'm partnering with the Alliance Defending Freedom. ADF is in the trenches every single day, fighting pivotal court battles that affect our future. But here's the deal. They never charge their clients a dime. That's right. When they represented us and our students at Turning Point USA, they never charged us a dime. They did a wonderful job of representing our students, and they never had to pay for their own legal defense. And you won't have to either. But ADF is a nonprofit ministry, and they need your help in order to continue to fight pivotal court battles and protect our freedoms. Your investment of $100 or more in the Freedom Fund will help us do just that. My goal this month is to raise them at least $20,000. I hope you will be as generous as you can. Go to charliekirk.com right now. That's charliekirk.com and click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner or call 888-670-1599, 888-670-1599, or go to charliekirk.com and give some money.
I'm Kent Davenport of Quality Hearing Aids with five simple truths. One, you cannot legislate the poor into prosperity by legislating the wealthy out of prosperity. Two, what one person receives without working for, another person must work for without receiving. Three, the government cannot give to anyone anything that it does not first take from someone else. Four, you cannot multiply wealth by dividing it. Five, when half of the people get the idea that they do not have to work because the other half will be forced to take care of them, and the other half realizes that it does no good to work because the government will take what they have worked for and give it to people who have not worked for it, that is the beginning of the end for any nation. I'm Kent Davenport, Quality Hearing Aids, 369-1321, 369-1321. 369-1321.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. The Senate has rejected the Democrats' latest effort to change the nation's voting laws. Bob Agnew reports.
In a 49-51 vote, Democrats failed to muster the 60 votes needed to advance the Freedom to Vote Act. Democrats insist the measure is needed to protect voting rights in states tightening their restrictions in the aftermath of the tumultuous 2020 election. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell calls the bill an election takeover scheme. Democrats are now hoping for increased support among their own ranks for ending the Senate filibuster, allowing them to pass controversial bills without meeting the 60-vote threshold. Bob Agnew reporting.
Potential human remains were found Wednesday in a Florida wilderness area, along with items believed to belong to Brian Laundrie, whose girlfriend Gabby Petito was found slain after he returned home alone from their cross-country road trip. Michael McPherson, chief of the Tampa FBI office, said at a news conference that it will take time to identify the remains, which forensic teams were examining.
I know you have a lot of questions, but we don't have all the answers yet. We are working diligently to get those answers for you.
Nicholas Cruz pleaded guilty Wednesday to murdering 17 people during a rampage at his former high school in Parkland, Florida, leaving a jury to decide whether he'll be executed for one of the nation's deadliest school shootings. Tony Montalto tells reporters that it was painful to attend the hearing for his daughter Gina's killer.
It was probably the most uncomfortable thing, well, second most uncomfortable thing we've ever had to do. First one would have been hugging our daughter's lifeless body.
The FBI found a trash bag of shredded documents, thousands of dollars in cash, latex gloves, and a go bag when they searched the home of a Maryland couple accused of trying to sell information about nuclear-powered warships to a foreign country. On Wall Street, the Dow by 152 points, the NASDAQ dropped 7, the S&P 500 up by 16. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Do you know how much you're really paying for life insurance through work? I can almost guarantee you're overpaying for limited coverage. I'm Joel Clark, a SelectQuote agent for over 20 years. My clients are shocked to learn how expensive life insurance at work really is because of a rate that's driven up by unhealthy people. Why pay more when you don't have to? For over 35 years, SelectQuote has helped people save 50% or more by shopping highly rated insurance carriers. I even found a 40-year-old man with high blood pressure, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month. Don't wait. Workplace open enrollment is here. Let SelectQuote save you money and get you the coverage you need to protect your family.
For your free quote in just minutes, call 1-800-659-8080. That's 1-800-659-8080. 1-800-659-8080. Or go to SelectQuote.com.
Full details on example policy and carrier ratings at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Price could vary by health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Alex and Orlando De Castroverde are third-generation lawyers and lifelong Nevadans. They built De Castroverde Law Group Personal Injury on their family principles. When you've been injured, they'll fight the insurance companies, seek maximum compensation, and stand by you the entire way, just like family. De Castroverde Law Group Personal Injury. Our family will fight for yours. Online at dlgteam.com or call 702-222-9999.
I'm Fred Simon. I'm running for Nevada governor. I live in Douglas County, and I'm a physician, an MD, a practicing trauma surgeon. So yes, I recognize an emergency when I see it. And our state is in trouble. From COVID, economic problems, forced vaccine threats, mail-in ballot schemes, and a surge of illegal immigration, an invasion. And it's all been made worse by mindless politicians. Here we are in 2021. And we seem to be stuck with electing people that promise us one thing and then do the opposite. I'm a doctor. I have never been a politician. So I don't know how to make excuses and lie like the worst of that breed. Please help me become Nevada governor, and together we'll stop the insanity of a lawless Nevada. Learn more anytime and join me, Fred Simon, at simonforgovnv.com.
Paid for by Simon for Nevada.
It's 3:04. This is your KMZQ News Flash, powered by De Castroverde Law Group. If you've been injured, their family will fight for yours. I'm Jim Dallas. Well, the GOP primary race for governor is getting more crowded as the Las Vegas City Councilwoman Michelle Fiore has announced her intention to run for the Republican nomination. In making that announcement, Fiore said that she would ban mandated vaccines, critical race theory in schools, and promised to audit the 2020 election. She enters an already crowded primary, including Clark County Sheriff Joe Lombardo, former U.S. Senator Dean Heller, North Las Vegas Mayor John Lee, and Reno Attorney Joey Gilbert, just to name a few. Nine in all. The one-term city councilwoman is being investigated by the FBI in connection with her campaign finances, and fellow councilwoman Victoria Seaman has accused her of breaking her finger in an assault that allegedly happened inside City Hall. After 123 public meetings across the Silver State, Governor Sisolak says he has a better idea on how to spend the $6.7 billion Nevada has gotten via the federal American Rescue Plan. The governor said that the Nevada Recovers Listening Tour was necessary in order to pin down the biggest needs from what he called a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Affordable housing, good-paying jobs, and small business support.
KMCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers.
Come in now and get up to $50 off brake pads or shoes and a lifetime warranty.
Well, it's still tough trying to get through the downtown Spaghetti Bowl area from both directions because of those lane restrictions continuing because of the bridge reconstruction. So expect delays. 515 eastbound at Main, 515 westbound at Eastern. Moderate flows on the Beltway, 215 east at St. Rose.
I want you to know that the movement we started is only just beginning. There's never been anything like it. The belief that a nation must serve its citizens will not dwindle, but instead only grow stronger by the day. As long as the American people hold in their hearts deep and devoted love of country, then there is nothing that this nation cannot achieve.
Check it out!
I go from this majestic place with a loyal and joyful heart, an optimistic spirit, and a supreme confidence that for our country and for our children, the best is yet to come.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It's live and local. And I'm so happy that you're here for a hump day. We always have fun on hump day. We know we're halfway home. We are almost to the weekend, and all we got to do is just finish out the week. That's how good it is. By the way, this show moving noon till 3. Beginning Monday, November 1st. I hope you're going to be with us. Somebody who I know will be with us, he's making the move with us to noon to 3, and that is Chuck Muth, the president of Citizen Outreach, the publisher of NevadaNewsAndViews.com, and he joins us. You're moving with us.
You can't get away from me. You can run, Kevin, but you can't hide.
Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? No, we're real excited about it. And when you hear what we're going to do from 3 until 6 beginning Monday, November 1st, you're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe a radio station could put together this kind of talent all in 6 solid hours. It's going to be fun. Hey, let me just ask you. I know that... if you were listening to the news, you know that the governor has been talking. He's been on a listening tour on how to spend $6.7 billion in federal funding. What do you make of this, having to go around the state and doing photo ops and this kind of thing about how to spend all this money? And in the end, you think it'll be spent wisely?
Well, of course he doesn't have to go around the state to figure out how to spend it. He's not listening to what anyone is saying. He's going to spend that money any way he and the Democrats decide to spend it. This is nothing more than a taxpayer-funded photo opportunity for his reelection campaign. He has said from day one that this everything involved with COVID is not based on politics, and we all know since day one it's been based on nothing but politics, and it continues to be based on nothing but politics, and that's what this whole, quote, listening tour is all about. He ain't listening to anybody. He already knows what he wants to do with the money, and that's exactly what he's going to do with it. What he should do with it is just send it back to the federal government and say, thank you, but Nevadans can take care of themselves. We don't need this.
Well, I'm just curious, though. If I gave you the key to the treasure chest, and all of a sudden you had access to the $6.7 billion, what should we be doing with it?
Well, at the very least, my first inclination would be there are small business owners who were hammered horribly. Many were put out of business permanently by the governor's shutdown. They need to be made whole, and that money should be used to help them recover what they lost over the past, well, now more than a year and a half because of all the shutdown orders and masks and mandatory vaccine orders and everything else. So that's one. And then secondly, the other group that really needs to be compensated are landlords. They have been denied the ability to kick people out who aren't paying their rent. The people have got rental assistance, but a lot of them haven't used it. I mean, they had enhanced unemployment benefits, but instead of using it to pay their landlord the money that they owe, they've used it for other things. And when the push comes to shove, they're just going to walk away. Unlike a mortgage holder who can foreclose on your home and get their money back if you don't pay the mortgage holder, a landlord doesn't have any such ability. You can sue somebody for back rent, but good luck ever trying to collect it on anyone. So that's where the money should go. It should be to compensate business owners who were harmed by the governor's decisions and landlords who were similarly harmed by the prohibition on evicting deadbeats who didn't pay their rent.
Are you surprised that the teachers' unions are looking for upwards of $1 billion in new spending? They already got $500 million during the legislature.
No, it doesn't surprise me at all. Look, that's all they the only solution to the woes of the public education system that the teachers union ever trots out is more money. And if more money was the answer, we'd have the greatest education system in the world. We don't. It's not the problems in public education in Nevada have nothing to do with money. It has everything to do with the monopolized system where we allow the government to completely control the distribution of the educational services.
Again, Chuck Muth joining us, the president of Citizen Outreach. I want to ask you, though, about poll numbers. Governor Sisolak's poll numbers have been consistently, believe it or not, pretty good. My question is, how is that happening after everything that happened during the pandemic, including Dieter and the rollout of the vaccine and the inability to get to 70%? Explain why his poll numbers are so high, or are they high?
Sure, exactly. The second part, you hit the nail on the head. First of all, I want to know what the polling questions were and who was polled, because you can manipulate polling figures simply by changing how a question is asked and who you're asking the question of. So that's one. Secondly, let's say that the numbers are, let's say they are accurate or somewhere near accurate, and they are higher than what I think you or I would believe they should be. The problem is that Republicans in this state have taken a powder. From day one, March 17th, 2020, you have had very, very, very few Republicans, including almost all of the Republicans who are running for governor right now. They just went and hid. They should have been hammering this governor on the mismanagement and the bad decisions that he made from day one. Instead, they all deferred to him, and they sat back, and they just let him get away with it. And so the public doesn't know how badly he has handled this whole COVID situation, because there hasn't been anybody out there hammering him. Now, I think that's starting to change with all of the various Republican candidates who have filed for governor. Some of them are starting to hit him pretty hard. One in particular, Joey Gilbert, has been probably the only one in the current field that regularly has hammered the governor on this, but he didn't get a whole lot of media attention at the time. He was an attorney in Reno, and the press didn't really cover him all that well. The other one, the newest entrant, which I'm sure you want to talk about later some other time, is Michelle Fury. She has been very vocal and actively opposing the governor. I think she's going to continue to hammer him. And I think when people finally start to see and hear exactly what this governor has done from opposing candidates, you'll see those numbers come down even further.
We've seen introduction videos from most of the front runners, and they're all interesting, and they're artistic, and they're really cool pieces of art. But they haven't really dug down on why this governor needs to be replaced. Do you think we'll start seeing some of that?
We will, but here's the problem. I guess we're up to maybe 10 candidates of various degrees of viability and credibility, 10 gubernatorial candidates on the Republican side. They could get out of the primary first before they get to the general election. And they got to be careful, Kevin, about making the same mistake that Sue Loudon made in her U.S. Senate race against Harry Reid back in 2010. She focused her entire primary campaign on going after Harry Reid and forgot to go ahead and make the distinction between her and Sharon Angle, who ended up beating her in the Republican primary that year. So I think the Republican candidates are going to remember that lesson, and I think they're going to need to distinguish themselves between themselves before they turn full attention on Sisolak. Of course, they're all, they should continue to criticize the governor, but they're going to have to sharpen their differences with a field this big. 25% of the primary election could take the nomination.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. I counted 9 with the entry of Michelle Fiore, but I'll double check my math to make sure.
You must have missed my announcement. I'm running for governor too now, so there's 10 for you.
Everybody gets a job. I'm just curious though. How does Michelle Fiore's entrance into the race impact a lot of these other candidates, in particular like Joey Gilbert, who kind of fills that anti-government role?
Yeah, I said that yesterday. I think that probably Mr. Gilbert is harmed most by the entrance of Michelle Fiore, because he did have a niche in the electorate that was different from everyone else. He had very passionate supporters who, even though he doesn't have electoral experience, they respected and appreciated the fact that this guy's been out there hammering and fighting. And if there's one thing that a lot of Republican voters have come to appreciate since Donald Trump is that, look, we don't mind losing a fight. We mind conceding a fight. We want Republican candidates who are going to stand up and actually fight, even if the odds are against them, even if they lose, but at least take a stand, at least fight. And I think Joey Gilbert tapped into that vein within Trump supporters in Nevada. And Michelle Fiore will also tap into that exact same vein. So I think her entrance probably hurts Joey more than it hurts the other candidates at this point.
More with Chuck Muth coming up. Stay with us. Lots to do as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
On air, online, or on demand, take AM 670 KMZQ with you wherever you go. Download the SimpleRadio.com app and make us your favorite today.
Hi, I'm State Senator Scott Hammond. These are difficult times for all of us, a time set apart, but our Las Vegas community has always come together when we need to. We all have a part to play, and it is heartwarming to know that our community is strong enough to fight this. Many of you also have questions or concerns, which is why I have compiled as much information and resources on my website as possible. Please visit HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. That's HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. Paid for by Friends of Scott Hammond.
Planning for tax season? Hi, this is Ray DiNardi. When used for business, a Range Rover can be depreciated at a faster rate than most luxury cars. So now, owning a Range Rover not only affords extreme breadth of capability to your business, it can deliver significant tax advantages as well. Consult your tax advisor for details. Let our business take care of yours. Come see for yourself today at Jaguar Land Rover Las Vegas, 6425 Roy Horn Way, or visit us online at jlrlv.com.
I'm Sam Peters, retired military officer, Bronze Star recipient, conservative business owner, and proud American patriot. For too long, we have felt the devastating impacts of liberal elected officials, the policies they force upon us, and sadly, those citizens that just get in line, forgetting the freedoms and liberties we have as Americans. In America, we have the right, no, the responsibility, to question our elected leaders. It takes courage, but it must be done. We must have the courage to say no to mandatory vaccines, critical race theory, socialism, and the censoring of our constitutional rights. We must hold our elected officials accountable and remind them that we elected them to represent us, not rule us. As you navigate your day today, remember, do it with conservative courage, because this is your America, and liberty still matters. This message is brought to you by Sam Peters, owner of Peters Family Insurance, a local business operating with conservative courage. Call us at 702-870-4000.
This is your Money Minute. I'm Steve Siddall. Joining me today to talk about alternatives to a 401k is America's wealth coach and best-selling author, Coach Pete DeRuda. Coach, if a listener's company doesn't offer a 401k, that's no reason to not save for retirement, is it?
Steve, 401k gets a lot of hype, but the reason why they hyped it up a lot is when it first came out, it was a way for companies to escape the obligation of having to pay for your retirement. In other words, give you a pension. Mm-hmm. So the 401k is not the end-all be-all. If your company is offering one and you have a match through the company, then you absolutely should take advantage of that match. So if you have a company giving you a 3% match on the first 3% you put in, well, you should be putting 3% in. I've talked to way too many people in my lifetime, and 29 years here in the financial arena, who said, Coach, I can't afford to save in the 401k or for retirement. Think about this. Who are you paying when you pay for the 401k? You're paying yourself. You're paying your future self. You're putting money in today. Hopefully it's going to grow. So a dollar today, hopefully it's going to be worth $5, $10, $15 down the road. You don't know. Here's one thing to guarantee. If you don't put any money in, guess what it's going to be worth down the road? Zero. So you need to take advantage of some type of plan, even if it's not a 401k. Do your own individual IRA. Save in a stock account. Do something. And, Steve, we'll put together a starter plan for the next 20 people who call, showing you what to do. More, but if you've already done it, let's make sure you do the right thing and get that income plan. So if you have a plan and just want to make sure you're doing the right thing entering retirement, or don't have one yet and want to make sure you get a plan started, both of you can take advantage of this offer right now. And we've also got a three-book set. I'll give you three of the books I've written and a box set on the 401k and taxation when you call right now. It's a $1,000 value, Steve. Let's offer this to the next 20 people.
That sounds fantastic. Coach, don't miss out on this one. 888-702-6932. Call 888-702-6932. You can also text the word VEGAS to 600-700. Text VEGAS to 600-700.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Financial Advisory Group, a Nevada-registered financial advisor.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, this is Live and Local with Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Chuck Booth alongside the president of Citizen Outreach, and we were talking about the candidacy of Michelle Fiore, the Las Vegas City Councilwoman who has entered the governor's race, and by my count, that's nine candidates vying for the Republican nomination. You're a political consultant, Chuck. In fact, I asked Michelle Fiore yesterday, I said, you call yourself a fighter, so who in the Republican field are you going to fight with first? Is this going to end up like a Texas battle royal where people just kind of square off and, you know, candidate A goes after candidate B and candidate C goes after candidate D? How do you think this will go down?
Well, you know, everybody always hopes that a campaign's not going to go negative, but of course they always do, and the reason is running negative ads against your opponent works. I mean, people complain about it all the time, but if it wasn't effective, people would stop doing it, and candidates have not stopped doing it and aren't going to stop doing it next year. So, yeah, you're going to see. I know Joey Gilbert was throwing some sharp elbows at Joe Lombardo originally, and I think a lot of people were throwing shots at Dean Heller because of his Never Trump stuff from years ago. And it's only going to ratchet up. What happens is everybody kind of plays it cool in the beginning, and they don't want to throw the first punch. But once the first punch is thrown, just like Donald Trump taught him, he won't throw the first punch. But if you take a shot at him, he's going to come back at you twice as hard. And I think that's what you're going to see after the first of the year. I think it'll be fairly tame between now and the holidays. Normal stuff, but after the first of the year, it'll get really, really serious once everybody knows how much money each candidate has. That's going to be a determining factor on who all the candidates start targeting, is going to be who is leading in the money race after January 15th.
And who do you think will have the best shot at actually raising a ton of dough? We've already seen in the Senate race, Adam Laxalt with $1.3 million raised, Sam Brown raising $1 million. What will we see in the gubernatorial race with so many folks in that race, nine of them?
It's going to be interesting. I think that you're going to find that Joe Lombardo is going to be extremely successful on the fundraising front and may even come out as the number one fundraiser when all is said and done. I believe that Dean Heller, because of his name ID and his Rolodex of big donors, will be competitive. I know that Michelle Fiore is no shrinking violet when it comes to raising money. She's always been very, very good at that. She's going to have plenty of money. I don't know that Joey Gilbert's going to be able to raise the major donors, but he may be successful with a lot of small dollar donations to keep him competitive. And then John Lee, he has his own network of donors. He's been in politics since the mid-1990s, so I think John Lee could be very successful on the fundraising front.
It'll be interesting to see how the money game plays out here.
Wait a minute. Don't leave Guy Nora out. I keep forgetting about Guy Nora.
But he can
self-fund.
Self-fund
his campaign. Yeah. He's willing to put millions in himself, and so he's going to be a player no matter what, whether he raises money. And I think he'll probably go out and try to raise money, small-dollar donors, Kevin. But he's going to be able to fund whatever he wants, so he's definitely going to be a factor to be dealt with.
Will we have debates, and is there a stage large enough somewhere in this state for nine candidates?
Yes, absolutely. They could easily find a stage big enough, and then it's going to be a question of whether or not, who's. I think a lot of them were going to be licking their chops to debate after, again, the money figures come out January 15th. Once everybody knows what the pecking order is. Whoever's at the top, obviously, are going to want to protect that lead, and everyone else below is going to be saying, okay, we want to debate because we want a shot at this guy. Or gal, whoever tends to be. So, yeah, there will definitely be debates, and they'll be able to find venues that can hold all nine of them. If you invite all nine, depending on who holds the debate, they may limit it to, like they do with the presidential debates, you have to reach a certain level in polling or fundraising in order to be invited to participate in the debate because, let's face it, there are candidates who simply are not viable. They you know, they're wonderful people. They have great positions as conservatives, but they're not a viable alternative. And you don't want to have them sucking up time away from candidates who have a legitimate shot at the nomination.
But isn't it true that